CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Grumpy Old Geeks, a weekly talk show hosted by Brian Schulmeister and Jason DeFilippo, discussing the finer points of what went wrong on the internet and who's to blame.
Welcome to Grumpy Old Geeks. I'm Jason DeFilippo.
And I'm Brian Schulmeister. I want to thank everybody that wrote in about the EVs and hybrids. There's some passionate people. We got a lot of messages across the multitude of ways that people can contact us. I did have to have a laugh, though, because within the space of 5 minutes, we'd gotten two messages. One saying, oh, yeah, hybrids. You don't need to charge those at all, ever. Another one saying, you need to charge your hybrids.
Well, there's the one guy, I forget who wrote in, said that we were both right and we were both wrong.
Right.
So, because I do remember hearing the term plug-in hybrid. So
yeah,
that was
me
a
too.
Thing. So.
But apparently they can run off like normal power, which I have power in my garage because I'm fancy like that. So I could conceivably get one of those. Here's the thing, though. I have a completely paid off car. We hardly ever drive, so I don't use any gas. It makes no sense for me to sell what I've got to get a hybrid at this point. But next car.
Well, you might be stuck with gas by then because I don't know if you're reading all of the blowback. I think Norway is coming out saying, yeah, this might not have been the best idea. We may have wanted to take those subsidies and put them into, I don't know, public transportation. So
public transport, good. This debate has obviously been raging since we last talked about it everywhere. And I remember hearing something on NPR that was like, you really want to save the planet? Take all that money and plant more trees because they suck more carbon out of the atmosphere than anything we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And it was another one I saw that some company tried to set up an electric trucking company to put in 30 trucks. And the city came back saying, you're out of your mind. That's like three times the power the entire town draws just to charge your trucks. So, I think we're going to be stuck with liquid dinosaurs for quite some time.
Well, if you've got a Tesla and you're an Elon stan, you've got some good news this week, though. Tesla's autopilot was found not to be the fault for the fatal 2019 Model 3 crash, according to a jury. So basically, even though the defense argued that it's not a true autopilot, it's been marketed as an autopilot, it's not really there. It's experimental software, blah, 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 blah. It's in beta, et cetera, et cetera. What they found out is we can't prove whether it was on autopilot or not when this guy died. Aren't there logs?
No, remember, Brian, that
are they using our preferred VPN, the no log system, to do everything with Tesla?
Every Tesla comes with an account with it, private internet access.
I mean, you'd think that there would be logs for this, particularly as we've talked about recently, like, every single car company, now that they're just computers in your cars, are tracking everything that you do. But apparently not Tesla with their self-driving beta feature.
We covered this a while back. What they were finding is that they're actually under investigation from this, I think, from the NHTSB. I knew I was coming.
One more letter
eventually. Fucking dyslexic, give me a break. That what they were doing was, as soon as it started to track that it was going to have an accident, it would turn off self-driving beta so it wasn't
delete,
to blame.
Delete.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see how the results of that investigation goes, and then maybe we can, you can't have double jeopardy for this one, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out once they get that investigation done, because that seemed very much along the same scope as Volkswagen Gate and their exhaust crap, you know? Turning off the logs does not mean you were not at fault. That's the old George Carlin, cop didn't see it, I didn't do it.
Yeah, well, that's the way of the world, Jason. Apparently, as this lawsuit is now proven. So, I also talked last week about how Meta was basically taking Threads posts and throwing it into Facebook and Instagram feeds without anybody's permission or anything of that nature. And obviously, it's the playbook for growth. It Of course they're going to do that. They own all these things. But there was a lot of outcry about it. So it looks like Meta may be actually trying to stop doing some of this, what's considered the most aggressive and unpopular growth hacking tactic for Threads. They appear to be working on a new privacy setting so Threads users can opt out of having their posts cross-posted to Facebook and Instagram feeds. Of course, it's opt out, not opt in.
So, right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
if your profile is public, it will continue to be posted everywhere.
Yeah, but it'll be something at least because right now there's no way to turn it off. It just happens.
You know the best way to turn it off, Jason?
Don't use Threads.
Don't post on Threads. That's what I do.
One way to do it. Although it seems to be picking up some steam.
Threads is, if I were a betting man, and I am at least as far as the stock market is concerned, I think Threads is going to come out on top here for a micro blogging platform. So
Yeah. I haven't opened any of them. It's great.
I just don't care.
No. We'll talk about that more at the library because I've had more time to read, which is awesome. And this just came across my desk this morning and I had to put it in here because now bees are the new eggs.
Okay.
Everybody's been saying, we're losing the bees. We're losing the bees. Everybody get some beehives so we can save the planet. Well, apparently professional beekeepers are saying, stop it, people. They're fine. The ones that you guys are raising are fine. The wild bees are the ones that are the problem, and you cannot raise wild bees. So stop it, you fucking hipsters and your damn beehives in your backyard.
Okay.
In the news.
Well, this seems to be on everybody's mind nowadays. Sam Bankman-Fried has been found guilty on all 7 counts.
Was there really a doubt about this one?
No.
Okay.
But, I didn't think anybody outside the nerd sphere cared about this stuff. But apparently, since everybody lost their houses in crypto during the pandemic, a lot of people do seem to care.
This is definitely pitchforks out. So.
Oh, my phone blew up. It blew up. Somebody was all up in my DMs yesterday as soon as this came out. And it faces up to 115 years in prison. We do have to wait till March 28th for the sequel, though, to find out what the sentencing is. That's a long time between episodes, I got to say.
Not as long as he's going to end up in prison, Jason.
Oh, no. He is.
I don't think he's going to get that many, but, he's going to be in there for quite some time.
He's going to be in there for a very, very, very long time. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And deservedly. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. So what he did. And my favorite thing that came out of all of this, the New York Times PitchBot, one of the few things I still enjoy about social media over on X, put out a great headline. Sam Bankman-Fried's conviction could have a chilling effect on future Stanford law professors' law children's ability to set up multi-billion-dollar offshore cryptocurrency scams.
There you go.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
So we had the sweeping White House executive order to take aim at AI's toughest challenges. And I put in a whole bunch of shit here in the show notes. And I'm just going to distill this down to...
Sum it up, Brian. Reader's Digest version.
They're doing some good stuff, but because it's an executive order and it's government, it's basically only about the government.
Right.
So it doesn't really affect what's going to happen in the private sphere. They're just kind of hoping that it will trickle down, because if you want those lucrative government contracts, you're going to have to do all these different cool things that we're proposing to do for safety.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, we'll see how that one plays out. I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up taking the lead from the EU, much like we had to do with GDPR. And they're going to be the ones that are going to actually have the regulatory teeth.
Well, that's the thing. Forward. That's exactly the point about this executive order. And Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, actually pointed this out as well, saying that the executive order does not go far enough and could not be considered an effective replacement for congressional action, a.k.a. regulations.
Yeah, so, laws. Real laws.
Yep, the laws. So. Not just, we're not going to let you do this and governments won't work with you if you do. That's not going to do much. So.
Yep. Well, let's get back to the EU and how the fact that they have some teeth. Well, they fined Facebook a couple hundred milli recently for
coffee
targeting.
Money. It's the EU espresso money.
So so that doesn't happen again, and to recoup their losses, Meta is actually finally going to get off their ass and start an ad-free plan that you can pay for.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost about $9.99 in euros, so mm-hmm. that will fluctuate in dollars, about $11.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get, you know, you can get Facebook and Instagram ad-free.
Can you though?
Apparently. Oh, except really? Except if you read a little bit farther, it says that in a blog post on Monday, Meta announced that Instagram and Facebook will launch paid for subscriptions for people in the EU that will remove most of the ads from the platform.
So
not
guess
all,
what? There's most. Now going to be an ad tier that you can pay for that goes into the feeds for people who are paying not to have ads.
What is this, fucking Hulu? Jesus.
It's streaming media.
It is. It is. Now, here's the real dick move in the whole thing. That's only for the web version. If you actually want it on your phone, where almost everybody fucking uses it, then it's going to cost you $12.99. So,
what if you use both? Do you have to pay for both, or does the $12.99 tier take care of you on the web as well as the phone?
It doesn't say. It just says for iOS and Android.
See, this is how they fuck you, and this is the way my mind works. I'm like, how do we get even more money? How do we screw them even more?
Yeah, so, you know, the way this is going to work is they're just going to try and take as much money as they possibly can, because they still want to send you ads. This is just, you know, an FU to the EU. So it's the same thing that Apple is dealing with trying to let in third-party payment systems into the App Store. They are going to make it as difficult and cost prohibitive as possible because they're just pissed off.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, let's talk about some more news in Meta, the oversight board that we often discussed about when they were first convening this, and how it was basically just going to be suggestions and they weren't bound to anything, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, this week in toothless news.
Yes, yes. So dangerous diet videos can remain, but please demonetize them, is what the oversight board came back with. This all started with some Thai woman's fruit juice only diet thing that was all over the place. And
the one that killed Steve Jobs. Great.
Pretty much, yeah. The board recommended the company restricts the monetization of similar extreme and harmful diet related content on Facebook as researchers continue to wrestle with a concerning relationship between social media and eating disorders. So these were posted in late 2022 and 2023 by the same account and flagged by users as harmful. Who cares about the actual clip? There's tons of more harmful stuff all over Meta. So here's the board in a nutshell. Some board members believe demonetization of this type of content was a bridge too far.
Oh, God.
Demonetization may negatively impact expression on these issues. No!
No, it won't.
Harmful expression.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Snake oil salesman. That's the whole point. But no, those people on the board don't want that. Another part of the board says that's not far enough. We need to do additional restrictions to extreme and harmful diet-related content to adults over the age of 18 and explore other measures, such as putting a label on the content, which would cost us money. So we're not going to do that. Yeah. Jeez. So
they're still as useless as always.
As useless as always.
Yeah, this oversight board was and always will be a joke.
So the company ad that will review the demonetization recommendation. Here's some behind the scenes footage that I managed to get from that review, Jason.
Okay. That's it.
There you go. Done.
All right. God, these people. Speaking of these people, mm-hmm. WeWork is back in the news. Apparently, the Wall Street Journal reported that they are planning to file bankruptcy as early as next week. Stock tank. I checked it this morning. It is about at $1.15 a share, which is $1.15 more than anybody should actually spend on WeWork stock right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it dropped about 50%. So it wasn't even really rocking that high before.
the reality for them is they decided to get into the commercial real estate game. They weren't even about being a, you know, a place to go and work anymore. They were just buying up commercial real estate everywhere. And guess what happened to the commercial real estate market? Yep.
Dead.
So that's not the basis of a good company.
No, no. They had a net loss of $2.3 billion in 2022 that was followed by a loss of $696 million in the first 6 months of 2023.
And from what I've been hearing, we have not even hit like the apocalypse of commercial real estate yet. That's still coming.
It's coming soon.
Yep.
Because I live with a real estate broker and I get to hear all the news. And there's there's a lot going on in real estate in the United States this week. So a lot. Yeah. So there are a lot of real estate agents right now polishing their resumes and checking out that those new pay hikes over at McDonald's, eyeballing that. So also expect a lot more used car salesmen on the street.
Great. Yeah. Selling the hybrids that nobody wants.
Yep.
Well, some cautiously good news coming out of X. X has decided to no longer pay creators for tweets promoting misinformation, which probably never should have been there in the first place.
Also a way for Elon Musk to get out of paying people.
Also true.
Yeah.
So apparently now if you get a community note on one of your tweets or X's or whatever the hell we're calling them at this point, that can no longer be monetized because it could for the longest time. So you could post whatever the hell you wanted to make money.
Yep. So now all we have to do is go create a little bot, which good luck nowadays. They rolled out their new pricing for the API this week and it was just exorbitant.
Of course it was.
Who the hell is going to use your APIs? Nobody likes you anymore. Nobody trusts you.
Yeah.
But you could still probably do a scripted DOM bot with your browser to go through and find all the people that you don't like who are trying to monetize their content, and then just flag every single post that they make.
Yep.
So there you go. That's all you got to do.
All right. I'm on Joe Rogan now.
Yeah. And actually, Elon Musk already probably wrote that, so he didn't have to pay anybody. So
probably. And there's probably exceptions written into the rule in the code that somebody's going to find because that's the way he rolls.
Yeah, I'm sure something.
Except for Tucker Carlson. He can do whatever he wants.
God. I keep seeing all the articles come through my feed about, you know, how he got fired or why he got fired from Fox. And I'm like, who cares? He's gone. I couldn't bring myself to read him. Like, I think it boils down to the fact that he was a twat.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Took him long enough to figure that one out.
Well, he was a twat that made them a lot of money for a long time.
That's true. That's true. There seems to be a lot of ex-Fox News anchors that made them a lot of money that don't work there anymore for the same reason.
Bill O'Reilly's going back to the past.
That's who I was thinking of. Yep.
Yep.
That's who I was thinking of. A little bit more X news here. Travis Brown, who's a software developer from Berlin, has had his account suspended from, by X, and he's suing them. And saying that, yeah, this is kind of bullshit. He's just a researcher. So they shut him down arbitrarily. X, in between, has gone through and redone their terms of service to say that that you're not allowed to do whatever it is. Whatever it is this guy did, you're not allowed to do it.
I do always like the retroactive change of terms of service.
Exactly. But they're saying that he was doing some kind of scraping to get his information. And he was just using their API and a couple other external platforms. But basically what he was kicked off for is he wrote some algorithms that could actually tell that X had become very far right since Elon took over.
Right.
Duh. Doesn't take an algorithm to tell you that one, buddy.
No, nope, that just takes logging in.
Yeah, yeah. And he never even posted his results on X or Twitter. He was a source for some news organizations. They used his data and then wrote, you know, derogatory articles about X. So, you know, shit rolls downhill. So he got banned.
Good on you for suing to kind of just bring this to light, which we kind of knew was happening anyways. But at the end of the day, X is now a private company. They can do whatever the fuck they want. They want to kick you off, they can. So good luck suing.
Mm-hmm. You could still, say even if they were a public company, it's a non-governmental organization. It is private. You know, it's a company.
Yeah.
They can, as long
as
no
shoes, no shirt, no service.
Exactly. So now, Jeffrey's been a naughty, naughty boy, it seems. I'm speaking of Jeffrey Bezos, who is now just the chairman of Amazon. But when he was the CEO of Amazon, he was apparently doing some nasty stuff. Basically,
shocking.
Yeah, really shocking. So the lawsuit that has been posted against them by the FTC has been highly redacted up until now. So some new things have been unredacted and are coming out in the news, basically saying that they were taking a ton of junk ads to make money off the advertisements and were kind of just saying, and Bezos was apparently the puppet master behind this, saying, yeah, just who cares? Just bring in all the ads. We'll make the money off the ads. Who cares if it screws up the customer experience? And so this is apparently, he knew about it. He masterminded it. And the FTC is calling bullshit on it, saying, you can't do that.
The thing I don't understand about all of this, Jason, because this is across the board. This is all of these companies. This is Google. This is Meta. This is Amazon. You have a perfectly good product that was making you so much money, and you destroyed it to make a little bit more money?
You have to increase shareholder value, Brian. If you're not always increasing shareholder value, then you're a failure in your father's eyes, because apparently all these people have some kind of fucking daddy issue that makes them just want to make more and more money.
I guess so. I just don't understand. You have a great product. It is working. It is taking over the world. That's true for all of these companies. They like best in class. They've taken up the entire market share within their markets. They're huge. They're making, they are shitting money.
Yeah.
And then they fuck it all up.
Yeah. It's like, why?
Amazon was great. It was the go-to place to shop. And now it's not, because it's horrible.
Yeah. It's, you know, I feel bad every time I buy something from there.
Yeah, nobody wants to. I try to find something anywhere else I can first. Amazon is my last place to go.
Yeah, same here. Same here. But, they're charging so much more now for Prime, where it's almost not even worth it.
Especially since you're going to get ads with your video.
With your videos,
even when
too.
You're paying for it.
Yeah. What do they think they are, Meta? Jeez. Anyway.
Yeah.
We all know about the fun that's going on over there. But yeah, you're right. These people just take what you get. You are making money. You are increasing shareholder value. Yes. An extra quarter point is not going to make your dick grow. So stop it.
I don't get it.
Nope. this is a fun one. Google, they got the rights to the .ing domain. So
now old Jason would have already bought fuck.ing.
Well, old Jason didn't have the money even for that. But so they're in pre-sale right now, and they're using some of my favorites like GoDaddy to facilitate the sales up until December 5th, when they just become regularly available. So you can pre-buy with a little bit of extra cash on top, depending on which tier you would like to get into for the pre-sale. Mm-hmm. So I looked up munching.
Right.
Just a random word with a .ing dictionary word with a you know, TLD on it. So I went and looked at it. You could get into the basic, you know, pre-buy at like $150.
Okay.
The domain itself is $19.95 going forward, or $19.99. So if I wanted to get in the top tier and made sure I got munching, it would cost me $1,250,000. $250,000, $19.99 a year.
You know, that's espresso money for Frito-Lay.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Or a lesbian dating site. You pick. Anyway, it's still a lot of money for me, so there will be no munching in my domain portfolio anytime soon.
Times have changed.
Yes, I know. And .meme is on its way, too. Which,
oh, joy.
That's a terrible one, because you don't know if it's a meme before it happens, so you're kind of like telling the punchline to the joke. That makes no sense. That one, I think, is going to be a shit show. That is my professional domainer opinion. Also, the fact that TLDs mean nothing anymore.
They don't mean anything.
Absolutely nothing.
Matter. Yeah.
No. I was looking at .coms the other day, and I'm like, why? There's no reason anymore. I started to let half of my portfolio go that I've had forever. I'm like, you know, back in the day, I could have at least expected to flip some of them. And I'm like, no, there's nothing now. So they've killed it. They've totally killed it. Are you hungry? I am. which means it's a perfect time to talk about Factor. Why not make your spring a breeze with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals? Picture this. Every meal is fresh, never frozen, crafted by top chefs, and has the dietitian's thumbs up. Plus, they're ready to roll in just 2 minutes. You've got 35 mouthwatering options to choose from each week. Whether you're into calorie smart, keto, ramping up your protein, or keeping it green with vegan and veggie, Factor's got you covered. And there's more. Each week brings over 60 extras, including breakfast, grab-and-go lunches, snacks, and drinks to keep your energy up and your taste buds happy all day. So, what's the holdup? Dive in today and give your spring the tasty kickstart it deserves. As someone who's lived off microwave meals for most of his life, I can confidently say that Factor's chef-crafted dishes blow anything else I've had out of the water. The chicken stays juicy, the veggies are crisp, and the flavors are absolutely delicious. I'm talking about meals like their artichoke and spinach chicken and the spicy poblano beef bowl. Out of this world. Are you craving a touch of gourmet? Well, check out the meals featuring luxury ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. It's fancy dining without the fuss. And speaking of no fuss, the meals are a total breeze. Forget about prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Just heat up your meal and enjoy the deliciousness. Plus, everything's tailored to fit your life. Customize your weekly meal plan to get exactly what you need whenever you need it. Need to pause or shift your deliveries? No problem. It's all designed to work around your schedule. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/grumpy50 and use code grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code grumpy50 at factormeals.com/grumpy50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Everyone needs a world-class VPN. Grumpy Old Geeks recommends private internet access to protect your online privacy and identity. Private internet access never keeps any records of their users' online activities, so you can be assured that you have complete privacy and nobody knows what you're doing online. No matter your technical skills, private internet access is one of the easiest VPN apps out there. All it takes to connect is just one click or tap, and your data will be encrypted instantly. With just one private internet access VPN subscription, you can connect up to 10 devices at the same time. Go to gog.show/VPN and sign up today. For a limited time only, you can get our favorite VPN for just $2.69 a month when you sign up for 2 years. gog.show/VPN. That's gog.show/VPN.
Media Candy.
Loki's coming to the end soon.
I better catch up then. I watched the first episode and that's kind of where I left it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're going to have to. I'm going to have to actually go back and rewatch it because it's a little confusing. Time travel can be that way. So, the last two I need to go back and rewatch. I watched the new one last night and was half asleep. So I definitely did not pick it all up, but it is... It can be a little bit confusing, but it was a good episode from what I saw. I'm gonna have to just pick it back up. Lower Deck season finale was yesterday. Did you get a chance to pick that one up?
I did watch that one. Yeah,
it was pretty good.
It was fine. It was the whole season was fine. It was funny. The big difference, I guess, was that they tried to carry a story arc for most of the season.
Yeah.
So that was fine, but I prefer the more, you know, let's just go for the jokes. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, the action plot ones just don't really do anything for me because it's animation, you know, it's like whatever.
Yeah. Stick to your strengths. Your strengths are jokes.
Yeah, the running Tom Paris joke was pretty funny, though, since they had the guy that did Tom Paris's voice. It was good.
That was good.
Yeah, even they even had a Wesley
Crusher was there. Yeah.
Crusher thing, which
did
is,
it feel
I
like you
mind.
Were listening to an audiobook for about 5 seconds there?
I'll talk about that when we get to at the library. Gen V had its season finale yesterday too. Mm-hmm. Nice finale. Good, solid first season with a finale tie-in with The Boys, which is coming up to their final season.
Okay.
Good crossover at the very end with the the post credits scene. I still stand by Gen V. I really enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. Billions had its series finale last week. 100% stuck the landing. Loved it.
Excellent.
Totally loved it. They just had that little slump in the middle there, that COVID slump. But for the most part, it was a great series. Great series. You would not go wrong by watching that one. Just like I said, fast forward those couple seasons in the middle there. something out of bounds. I watched The Equalizer 3 this week with Denzel.
Okay.
That series, there's so much time in between them that it doesn't really remind me much of the old TV series. But I got to say, in the third, I loved it. I think they wrapped it with this one. And it's perfect. It's a perfect example of how you do an old guy action movie. Not like Liam Neeson, not running and jumping and doing shit. He's just an old guy who can kill people really well.
It's sad that Denzel Washington is now an old guy, but that's where we are now.
Oh, yeah. No, Brian, we're old guys.
I know. I know.
Yeah. There's far, far fewer days in front than behind now. But so we just deal with it. Oh, God. And since I ended up going back to Peacock for a month because they sent me a sweet deal. So I popped it back on for a month because there's some stuff I want to see. I want to check out The Continental. That was the main thing, The Continental. That it's a three-part miniseries, the prequel to the John Wicks.
Right.
Unfortunately, Mel Gibson, but who apparently is the downfall. Everybody's like, it was a great series, but why the fuck did you ruin it with Mel Gibson? But once I get to watch it, I'll let you know. But I did find a series on there called The Traitors. It's it's a game show kind of thing. It's kind of like Werewolf meets The Mole, meets Survivor, meets Big Brother. It's like all of this stuff wrapped up into one, and I'd never heard of it. And I saw that it was nominated for an Emmy. So I'm like, is this old, new? What is this? And then I checked it out and I found it's already been renewed for season two, hosted by Alan Cumming, who is phenomenal. I've always loved him.
Good guy. Yeah.
Great show. Where we've got two episodes to go. We binged it all week and now I got two episodes to go and I can't wait to see the finale. But it's really weird because Ceri from Survivor is on this show, but she's also in this season of Big Brother, which is wrapping up this in 2 weeks, which I also watch because I'm loony that way. So it's very weird to see her on multiple shows at the same time, completely offset in time and space. But anyway, Alan Cumming, yes, he's a great actor, and it reminded me of the 1999 classic Plunkett and McLean. With Johnny Lee Miller, Robert Carlyle, unfortunately Liv Tyler, but she wasn't that bad in it. And Alan Cumming,
Liv Tyler's all right.
She's all right. She's all right. Well, I mean, look at it. She was good in Lord of the Rings. She was good in Armageddon. I got to say, I still love
that movie about the record store that she was in. I can't remember what it's called offhand, but that was good.
Oh, yeah. I barely remember that movie. Was it High Fidelity?
No, it was the other one that came out.
The other one. Okay. Yeah. The High Fidelity alike. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, she was good in that. But it's a really hard to find movie. But if you can find it, it is a classic. I love it.
All right. Well, I haven't been watching too much shows because I've been watching the World Series. Even though I don't have a horse in the race, it was the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Texas Rangers. And spoiler alert, Texas Rangers won this week. I like baseball. I'm going to watch the World Series. That's just how it goes. They used drones for the first time, which is why I'm putting this in here for coverage, which was pretty cool, I've got to say. They used a fleet of three compact aircraft during the Fall Classic for the first time ever. They had done this before for some other games, but this is definitely the first time in the World Series. They used the drones to capture moments like relief pitchers coming in from the bullpen, warm-ups between innings, pitchers leaving the mound. This is in addition to all the other stuff that has happened in recent years, including they put cameras in the bases for when people slide in. They've got ump cams, which is pretty great because you can tell how shitty all their calls are. You're like, you're seeing the same view they saw, and you're like, you called that a strike? Are you fucking high?
Are you blind, ump?
So this is like the baseball equivalent of the cop cam. They should just turn it off. you know?
Yeah, I saw, like, you know, years ago they showed where the strike zone was and where the ball went through the strike zone, what speed it was, and, you know, all the pitches. And I'm like, why do they need an umpire anymore? They don't.
They really don't. Yeah, they don't. They could all be done the other way. So, but they're, I mean, they're experimenting with that in soccer. They've got the VAR and the gold line technology and all that. So, you know, we're going to get there eventually.
But yeah.
Anyways, I've got to say, like, I'm watching the game with all these cameras and the positioning and the really solid editing and directing that's being done on these things. Like, why would you even go to a game anymore? It is just stunning to watch. Now, obviously, there's the atmosphere, the beer, the hot dogs,
the peanuts.
I was
going to say, you just went for beer.
All of that. But
yeah,
it is like, it's basically just unbelievable, like, especially when they go back and they show, like, footage from, like, the 90s or, God forbid, the 80s. You're just like, oh my God, how did we see anything? This is unbelievable. So, yeah, very stunning footage, and it was just really well, it was a beautiful thing to watch. So, awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't see, I when I was going to games in San Francisco, I'm like, this is really boring. There's no commentary. I don't know who's doing what, who's on first, literally. So, yeah, neat stuff. As you may know, I'm a massive Highlander fan. I actually have the limited edition European poster behind my desk.
I've seen the movie once, and There Can Be Only One has been an ongoing quote on this show, mostly because of you.
Exactly. I've seen all the TV series. I went to the final Highlander convention where Roger Daltrey actually sang on stage. It was fun. But they are going to be rebooting it with Henry Cavill.
Well, I'm glad he landed on his feet after getting fired from everything else.
Exactly. Poor guy. he's going to be coming in with Chad Stahelski, who is set to direct. And you know him from the John Wick series. So basically what they're trying to do is make this John Wick with swords.
Okay.
And I'm okay with that.
I think you're going to like it.
Yeah, let's reboot it. I'm sure it's not going to be any Highlander 2 with the planet Zeist, but hey, what you gonna do?
Look, Henry Cavill's good at this shit. Get him dirty and give him a weapon.
Yeah, I got no problem with Henry Cavill at all, and I got no problem with Chad Stahelski. And I don't even care that much about the story. I just like some Highlander, you know?
I think that's the best way to go into it, is not caring much about the story.
Look, man, if you can get through the TV series multiple times like I have, you can sit through anything. As long as it's a sword and somebody's head comes off by the end of the episode, you don't give a shit.
Right.
That's it. So, looking forward to it.
All right. I've got a little bit of the insider and streaming news here, and a little bit of a head scratcher when I think about the stock market again. I'm a huge Disney fan. I buy Disney stock basically all the time. I'm always scratching my head as to why Disney stock is always down. Mm-hmm. It's always down. There's no reason for it, especially when you read, you know, when you read articles that start like this, wondering what Disney plans to do with all that extra money it's been raking in after raising prices for Hulu, Disney Plus, and some of its theme parks. They're making tons of money, but the stock price is always depressed. I think it's one of the most underrated stocks out there. It's just unbelievable. Anyways, what they're doing is they're writing an $8.6 billion check to Comcast to finally purchase all of Hulu. They've had full operational control, but Comcast has never given up its 1/3 stake, which is probably why Hulu was never bundled into US Disney Plus, but it is here in Canada. So interesting. But now it will probably be bundled in with Disney Plus. So
it's been bundled down here for a while. That's how I get it.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. At least a year it's been like that, I think, because that's the only way I get Hulu is because I had Disney Plus. That's why I was saying I'm going to lose it when I got rid of Disney Plus, because there's nothing to watch anymore.
Gotcha. Like, I can't remember. Then at some point it was only bundled here.
Yeah, I think there was some other shit with ESPN and Hulu too.
Yeah, there's all kinds of legal weird restrictions.
It is so confusing.
It is so confusing. It's unbelievable. But Disney now owns it. Soon will own it completely.
So what's the point of having two? Why don't they roll it together like they did with Max?
You know, the thing with that is it gets weird because, like, and that's been kind of the problem with Disney Plus recently, is like you open it up and you think, oh, it's just going to be kids stuff, and all of a sudden there's like all this adult stuff on the first page.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think, how do you do it? I don't know. Make tabs? I don't know. It will. Yeah. I'm sure it will get rolled into one app. It's got to.
Yeah, Max has been, you know, it's a little problematic because you have to go find the network that you're looking for, and then dive in inside the network. The search is terrible. Yep. And the, you know, the automatic recommendations are pretty terrible. Although it did recommend Triple Threat with Bobby Flay, which actually turned out to be a decent show, surprisingly. Right. I'm not a Bobby Flay fan. I know you are.
But, it's all right. Yeah. I don't, you know, it's fine. He's got some good recipes.
Anyway, Max is still a pain in the ass, but it's got damn near everything on it. So if they did the same thing with Disney and Hulu, I can see that actually working.
Yep, definitely. But the stock will still be depressed.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Netflix is doing a head scratcher. They're going to cut the number of ads you see if you do the ad-supported tier. Okay. If you binge. So,
okay.
You're like, yeah, watch more shows, you get less ads. All okay. Right.
Sure.
I'm not going to go to the ad supported tier ever, but yeah, if that's up your alley, then just let it roll when you go to bed. Just pick a show that you don't like, let it roll, and then when you're ready to go watch the show you want to watch, there'll be less ads.
Pumps their numbers.
Yeah, it does.
Win for them.
Yeah, and a win for the actors too if they get their deals with streaming royalties, so fingers crossed.
Yep. And we've talked multiple times over the years about, is it worth cutting the cord? Is it cheaper? Is it better? And then Engadget comes out with this article, is streaming video even still worth it? Because of all the recent news about ad or price increases, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And this one just breaks Betteridge's law because the answer is yes, not no.
Oh, okay.
It's still worth it, even at those prices.
All right. And I did get speaking of Max, I got an email from them this week called Changes to Your Max Subscription Plan. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being a loyal Max subscriber. We wanted to inform you of upcoming changes to your subscription plan. Blah, 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 blah. Here's what to expect. Currently you can stream on 3 devices at once. Your new plan, you only get 2. The old plan, you get full HD video resolution with select titles in 4K HDR with Dolby Atmos. New plan, full HD video. Okay.
All right. So, yeah, there you go. Thanks. You get less. Thanks. Thanks for being a loyal subscriber.
So glad I'm such a loyal subscriber, you fucking cocksuckers.
Again, the way of the world, Jason.
This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. On this show, we often discuss the vast amount of personal info floating around out there. We're talking home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. If you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're definitely not alone. That's why I need to tell you about Delete Me. It's been a game changer for me in protecting my personal information. As someone who's been bombarded with spam calls and phishing attempts, discovering Delete Me was like finding a magic shield. Here's a really frustrating fact. The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. With rising political tensions, your political views could expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence. Angry people, fueled by their beliefs, can access your data from data brokers that cover 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment, identity theft, or worse. But there's good news. Delete Me works tirelessly to safeguard your data. They scour the internet, finding and removing your personal information from some of the largest data brokers in the world. And they don't just do it once. They continuously monitor to ensure your info stays private. I signed up and provided details on what I wanted removed, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me updated with regular reports, showing me where my information was popping up and confirming when it was deleted. Seeing their commitment to protecting my privacy has truly been a relief. Now, here's something special for all of you. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get that 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Delete Me. Today, I want to share something personal and honestly a bit alarming. Now, on this show, we talk a lot about how much of our personal info is out there. We're talking about home addresses, contact details, and even information about your family. And if you've ever felt that uneasy feeling about your privacy, you're not alone. That's why I want to tell you about Delete Me. It's a game changer for protecting your personal information. As someone who's been through the ringer with spam calls and phishing attempts, finding Delete Me felt like a breath of fresh air. Could your potential views expose you to cybercrimes, identity theft, or even violence in this election year? The amount of personal data available online has tripled from 2019 to 2023. Angry individuals, motivated by their political beliefs, can now easily access personal details from data brokers for 98% of U.S. citizens, putting you at risk of harassment and identity theft. Fortunately, you can safeguard your data with Delete Me. Delete Me scours the internet, finding and removing you and your family's personal data from hundreds of data broker websites. And they don't just do it once, they monitor your information to ensure that it stays private. I signed up and provided the specifics on what I wanted to go, and the team at Delete Me took it from there. They keep me in the loop with regular updates, showing exactly where my info was popping up and confirming when it was removed. Seeing how dedicated they are to protecting my privacy is a relief. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now available at a special discount for our listeners. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan today when you go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and use promo code GOG at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/GOG and enter code GOG at checkout. One more time, that's joindeleteme.com/GOG with code GOG at checkout.
Ups and doodads.
Brian, I don't know if you saw this, but Apple Journal has finally been released on iOS.
I have not seen that because I don't care.
Okay. Well, it just pops up on your screen.
Oh, okay.
It auto shows up. I'm a day one user, and day one is a paid app now owned by Automattic. Mm-hmm. $35 a year, but it syncs across all devices, has a web interface, lots of bells and whistles, templates, all sorts of things, prompts. Love it. Been using it for 8 years, I think, or something like that.
Right.
So I wanted to do the test against Apple Journal. Apple mm-hmm. Journal is basically like the notes app.
Okay.
It's like there's nothing there. There's right. literally nothing there. Day one has nothing to fear at this point. So if you just want something to jot notes down that has timestamps and you can, kind of journal with it, go for it. It's free. It comes with your iOS device.
Right.
But if you really like the bells and whistles and you want syncing across platforms, you want a web interface, everything and, password protected and all that kind of stuff, day one is the way to go still.
All right. Steve wrote in, "Hi, Jason and Brian. My boomer dad is finally retiring from his office job. The problem is he's always had his IT department do everything for him on his home computer." Nice. Mm-hmm. "Ever since he got his first Tandy 1000 in 1985. But now he's asking me what computer to buy and then what to get for it." I think that's supposed to be what to get for it. "Grumps, just like you, I'm not an IT guy. I don't think dad will agree to get a Mac, and I worry about the usual risks and scams. Do you have any suggestions for what I should get him?" Yeah, you put it in there, Jason, the iPad.
Yep, easy one. Totally easy.
Yep. My mom's got a tablet. I think she uses that way often than the PC that's back in the back room these days. She only goes there to shop, I think. Everything else she does on a tablet, piece of cake.
Yep. My roommate's mom, she's 94, 95. She's got an iPad. My dad, mid-70s, has an iPad. That's all they need. You can browse the web and you can check email. And if you need an app or a game, boom, it's right there. And it's really hard to fuck up.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're idiot-proof. Love them. I saw this come through. EU common charger law may be final nail in coffin for DSLRs. And I'm thinking, oh, they're just getting silly now.
Right.
But it turns out there is that whole USB-C charging thing is coming down for DSLRs in the EU.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that, well, this might be an excuse for some of these companies to just start getting rid of their DSLR line because some companies aren't even doing research and development on new DSLRs because they're just going away.
Right.
And just to follow that up, which is, something that I've been thinking about this week, the new Scary Fast event on the Apple campus was shot entirely on the iPhone 15 Pro Max. And it looks great.
Yeah. Those cameras are so good now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I've actually, I'm inventorying all of my, because I have a bunch of Nikon Z6s and lenses and some old DSLRs and stuff. It's all getting sold. I'm selling everything. I'm keeping one camera because I'm doing a video shoot today with a Nikon Z6 II and a Z7. And the rest of it's going to be shot on my iPhone Pro 13. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to start unloading this stuff and just go on the phone route because the phones are good enough now.
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous for the stuff that I'm shooting. And I found an app this week. I forgot to put it in the notes. There's actually an app you can get right now that will wirelessly sync up to iPhones if you want to do like a multi-cam shoot. So you
can.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we're just moving to the phones. So yeah.
There's going to be an entire movie coming out, like a real one, not, you know, press release movie shot on iPhone.
Yeah, not just not a PR stunt.
Yeah. Microsoft Copilot has launched as of Wednesday, I believe, which if you're wondering what that is, it's Clippy meets ChatGPT built into Microsoft.
Okay.
So the tool will summarize emails, write draft responses, transform Word documents into PowerPoint presentations, blah, 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 summarize stuff, blah, blah, blah. The thing that got me here that they listed in this, Copilot will attend a meeting on your behalf.
Okay.
Really? Let's see if my bosses appreciate that. Where were you for the meeting? I sent Copilot. I got the stuff here.
Yeah. Didn't you see him there?
I'm sure that's going to go over real well.
No shit.
Anyways, I've got Microsoft, but it's not free. That's the problem. You have to pay $30 a month per user.
No,
to get it, which means not a lot of people are probably going to end up getting it. Speaking of Microsoft stuff, there are new versions of Microsoft Teams and Outlook, which have been out for a while. I use both of those for the day gig. Do I use the new versions? No, because Microsoft in their infinite design excellence have plastered a big yellow new onto all the icons, including the dock icons. And it's so fucking ugly when I look at my screen. I will continue to use the old versions until they remove that monstrosity. Design matters, people. That's ugly. Well, why would anybody want to look at that?
It's Microsoft. Have you ever seen any design come out of Microsoft that was even remotely pleasurable?
No, but I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, I'm fine with the Teams and the Outlook icons, the white with the blue in there. It's pleasant enough to look at. And then you plaster a big yellow new onto it. It's so ugly.
And kind of pointless, because if you have it, you know it's new.
Yeah, I know. Just make a new, completely different icon.
Yeah.
You know, something. Jesus Christ.
Maybe it's just in the pipe, but delayed.
Maybe.
So who knows? Leo is the new AI assistant for the Brave browser.
Ooh, can it also attend my meetings for me?
Might be. It's going to have a summarizer in it, which is what I care about. So I'll be able to do stuff like straight out of the browser and get summaries. It uses Llama 2.
Okay.
The Meta LLM. So we'll see how that goes. You can get it right now if you want to go download the nightly channel builds. I don't, so I'm going to wait.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's coming. There's stuff's getting built into everything. So a built-in summarizer will save me about 45 seconds per copying pacing of articles.
Right.
So, yeah. Make it a little bit easier. So we'll see how that goes.
So we've been talking about streaming media, and even if you pay for it, you're getting ads. Just ads on streaming media in general are obviously a big moneymaker, and YouTube is also no stranger to these issues. What they are doing now is they're cracking down on ad blockers.
Okay.
Add-ons, extensions, and programs that prevent it from serving ads to viewers around the world are now being basically shut down. It's like, forget it, you can't watch anything. And people are unsurprisingly unhappy about this development, but then again, gotta pay the bills.
Gotta pay the bills.
So you can always sign up for YouTube Premium, in which case you will no longer get ads for now, until they've looked around at the landscape and went, hey, people can pay and just get less ads. We're gonna do that.
Exactly.
And they keep raising those rates as well. Premium rates are now $14 a month, up from July when they were $12. So those prices are going up, and I'm sure you can expect ads even if you pay pretty soon.
Yeah. I switched over to YouTube Premium, and it's great. It's absolutely fantastic. The other nice thing about having a YouTube Premium account on iOS, if you use the iOS app, you can actually close your device and still play like, you know, normally. They hold that feature hostage for right. premium users only. But if you, you know, if you want to listen to a video when you're out on a walk or something, you couldn't do that without premium. So for me, that actually really helps. But just no ads is fantastic. It is worth every penny. I switched over my note-taking app to Obsidian this week. I am in the process of moving everything over. I've got so many different apps that I've tried over the years, and lately I've had everything stuck in Craft, except I hate the way that it handles text in Craft. It's like all this fancy block crap, and it's like really hard to just edit a sentence. You know, it makes it so hard to just do any basic editing. Obsidian, on the other hand, is basically just folders of markdown files. Right. And it even hides the markdown from you, which is fine by me because fuck markdown. I hate it. It's a pain in the ass. It's stupid. I knew HTML first, so blah, whatever. Anyway.
Old man yelling at clouds.
Exactly, exactly. But when I'm done, I just have a nice set of folders that's searchable, linked together. It seems to be like remarkably powerful. So I will have some reviews as I go along the journey of porting everything into it. But I'm bringing it up right now. If anybody listening is an Obsidian user and has any like pro tips or power tips for a noob, shoot them my way. I could really use some pro tips because I'm a power user. Yeah.
At the library.
Brian, I broke our rule.
Mm-hmm.
I broke it twice.
Ooh, danger.
Yeah. So we started reading the Interdependency series by John mm-hmm. Scalzi.
Yep.
When I was finished with book one, I immediately went on to book two because the story picks up literally the next sentence.
I'm not going to lie. So did I. I'm about halfway through it.
I finished that one and then immediately moved on to book three because, again, this is just one giant book.
It's one big book. Like if Scalzi were Neal Stephenson, this would just be the Cryptonomicon.
Or the Baroque brick. Cycle. the Baroque Cycle, which I did read the entirety of. Cryptonomicon is a footnote in the Baroque Cycle. So I'm on The Last Emperor, the final book, and I've got like 30% to go. It's holding solid. Holding true.
I'm really enjoying book two. And I think you're right. This is one book that they just split up. That's the real thing here. Like it picks up right where the previous book left off. It just keeps going. So
yeah, no, it's really good. Mine is read by Will fucking Wheaton, of course.
Okay.
This is some of his best work. I have to say, I forget that it's Will Wheaton now.
Right.
He's got so many voices down and is doing such a good job on this. That and the previous Scalzi book that I just read, the new one, The Starter Villain, Will mm-hmm. read as well, and he was good in that one. So I think I might actually be liking Will Wheaton as a narrator now. So
well, you don't have a choice. Resistance is futile.
It is. But he's doing a really good job. So I'm loving these books. They're really good.
Yeah, they're fun.
And we kind of mentioned this last week. There's a new list out from Gizmodo, 44 new sci-fi and fantasy books to add to your November reading list. Mm-hmm. I was scrolling through it and every one is a fucking sequel.
Yep, that's what
they do. There's like nothing new. and it starts off by mentioning that Martha Wells Martha Wells has a new Murderbot book out.
And I would love to read Martha Stewart's Murderbot series. Though, I would personally.
Oh, that'd be great. So the thing is, you know, this is like story 9 that she's done so far, something like that. It's a ridiculous number. And, you know, it got kind of old by story 3.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever got past 4 or 5.
I've read them all, but it was definitely diminishing returns.
Okay. Well, you'll be, I don't know, sad or glad to know. I found an excerpt from the new book, Exit Strategy, and it says, Murderbot is back. The AI with a bad attitude, who isn't necessarily a bad robot despite the scary name, returns in Exit Strategy. It's the final installment of Wells's Hugo and Nebula winning novella series. Ahead of the author's next project, a full-length Murderbot novel.
So it's not the final installment in any way, shape, or form. It is yet another smaller book, and now she's going to write a bigger book.
Exactly. Okay. She's just going to put more words at one time out.
I think enough time has passed with Murderbot that I barely remember what the story is anyways, so I'll probably be able to enjoy Exit Strategy. Do we need more after 9 mini novels? I don't know.
Like I said, I got bored at 4, so let me know how it goes, if it's worth, because it's one of those ones where you can just kind of, they're short enough where you can just kind of bundle them all together and read it in a day.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were good, but
yeah, they're good. It's a great premise.
Yeah. So, no, yeah. She's milking it, and you know what? Good for her.
To the point that I was making last week, it's like, okay, all right, I understand why you're doing this, because you already have a built-in audience. You know, you're going to shift some units. You've already put the time into the world build. But maybe after 9 stories in one world, time to write another fucking world.
The Dark Side. Ha! With Dave.
Welcome to The Dark Side with Dave, with podcast superhost Dave Bittner. Dave is the host of the CyberWire podcast for all your cybersecurity news, the co-host of Hacking Humans with Joe Kerrigan discussing how humans are mean, the co-host of Caveat with Ben Yellen because people are nosy, and the host of Control Loop because industrial machines have feelings too. Do you still have all those shows, Dave? Are there any new ones?
I still have all those shows. Are there any new ones? I don't think so.
I love that you have to think about it.
Yeah, that's what I was like,
What did I do today?
No, I mean, it really does. It flows through. My brain, to protect itself, does very little logging of everything that I'm up to. So quite often people will ask me, how was your interview with so-and-so? I say, I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, it was good.
I think you need to write a self-help book based on this philosophy, Dave.
Right.
A path to better life, not knowing what you're doing at all, mm-hmm. or remembering anything.
Don't let it wash over you. Just let it flow through you. Like
like the force.
Like coffee. Yeah, right. Exactly. It just goes right through you. Yeah. So I think that's it. I don't know. People come up to me and say, I heard you on such and such. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. I guess I did that. All right. Cool. That was fun.
Hope you liked it.
Right. Did I embarrass myself? No? All right. Good. Good day. It's a good day.
Job well done.
Yeah.
So I got a little follow-up on the Flipper Zero.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I went back to go cancel the order because I was like, yeah, you know, I don't really need that. But in the interim, I have found someone to buy it off, take it off my hands when it gets here. So it's a quick turn and burn. So I get to keep all the money that I spent on, or that I sold all the gear for, that I used to buy this. So I get it back now.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anyway, here's the deal. Order cannot be canceled or changed once placed due to a high volume of orders. We currently can't handle cancellation and address edit requests. You can only return the items after you receive them. Yay, mm-hmm. thanks. Here's the worst part, though. I checked it again this morning. I ordered this on October 25th mm-hmm. of last month, and I got the notice, hey, your item is shipped. No, they created a label. Went into the system and says your item is shipped, just like we talked about before on the show about a year ago.
But do let me point out something really quickly here. That is 9 days. Now, this points to the Amazonification of our expectations on shipping.
Right.
It has only been 9 days, Jason.
It's been sitting there in the warehouse for 9 days. That's mm-hmm. 9 days for the post office to drive by and pick it up. Come on, 9 days?
I remember as a youngster, you know, and this
getting
is the
those
old
sea
part of Grumpy
took
Old
a
Geeks.
Good 3 months.
Well, it said we'll take 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Expect 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. That was the normal. Mm-hmm. That was what they said. And then Amazon turned it all up on its head. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Well, this was 3 to 5 business days, and it still hasn't left the warehouse.
Oh, poor baby.
Well, no, I mean, just say what it's going to be. Don't tell me it's shipped if it hasn't.
Right.
You I know, agree.
Well, waiting fair. To ship is fine, yeah. but saying it has shipped when it is still sitting in a box in your warehouse, probably not even that. Some joker just printed a bunch of labels that are sitting on his desk, not even on a box yet.
Yeah. Right. Sally hasn't been in for 2 weeks. She's on vacation. So when she gets in, she'll put these labels on these boxes and they'll get moving. Don't worry.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Dan wrote in for Dave, to cut down the Facebook noise, I've started using the Friendly app, which can hide posts based on keywords, suggested, sponsored, is going, is interested, Wordle, etc. It's not perfect, but it makes the site bearable. I've never heard of that one, but I also sent you my thing because I forgot to tell you during the show last week. I use FB Purity, which I know Jason used as well when he was actually using Facebook. And it's my must-use. I cannot look at Facebook without it plugging. You can strip out everything and it's great.
Yeah, I installed that, and it is better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's as good as it's going to get, Dave.
Well, Facebook is nagging me about it.
Yes.
In fact, it's telling me it's quantifying all of the things that I've missed because I have it installed. You know, you've missed two posts from this person because you have this thing installed. Don't you want to uninstall it? Come on. Don't you want to uninstall it?
I think you can turn off the nagging, because I don't see that either. I must have switched it off at some point.
Yeah. Okay.
There's an awful lot of settings to it. It goes deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I have later in the show or in this segment, I have some more comments on Facebook. So I'll save it for that. My impression of Facebook. But these are good. And thank you, Dan, for sending this in. I will check this out. And thank you, Brian, for sending me the Facebook Purity plugin. It's both very helpful. Appreciate it.
All right. I sent I posted a link in here called Space Mountain with the Lights On. It's a video of the roller coaster with the lights on, which I'd never seen before because I've never actually been on Space Mountain.
Oh, it's a great ride. It's a great ride.
Yeah. Yeah. Really great ride. Mm-hmm.
Looks like it might be better with the lights off because it looked really boring with the lights on.
Oh, yeah. It's just a twisty, turny roller coaster with the lights on. I've been on it when it is broken before. They've had to switch the lights on. So I've sat in there before with lights on.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've ridden both Space Mountains, both East and West Coast versions, and they're pretty similar. Famously, Disney World has two tracks and Disneyland has one.
Yes.
And in Disney World, you sit tandem style, and Disneyland, you sit side by side, I think. But the thing about Space Mountain is the tight turns. And I mean, it rattles you. It's a rattly old clunky kind of thing. But you're right, Jason. I mean, part of what makes it so much fun is that you can't see the turns coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it stands the test of time. If I have the opportunity, totally going to ride Space Mountain.
It's a fun ride. And, you know, there are different tricks that when you went there every single day, and you would, especially in the summers, and you would ride this ride every single day, you learned all these tricks. Like, when the moon goes past, if you twist your neck and follow the moon, you start to go down a spiral at that point in the ride. And if you can keep watching the moon, and it makes it seem like it's going even faster. And it's just, it's a great ride.
Wow.
Lots of fond memories.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And speaking of that, season 2 is out now on Disney Plus of their show Disney Behind the Attraction, which I thoroughly enjoy. And I'm sure, Dave, if you watch this, you would love this as well.
Yeah.
A bunch of new ones are out this time. We watched the first. We've only watched one so far. We watched the one about food because that is directly related to my wife's most interest in Disneyland. Uh-huh. And it was fantastic, all about the churros and the Dole Whip and turkey legs and all the stuff and how they make it.
Wow.
So yeah. Okay. This one's got Pirates of the Caribbean, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Indiana Joe's Adventure, the aforementioned food, Epcot, and like nighttime shows. So this is just a great show if you're a Disney file. So
I will definitely check that out. The first season was great.
Mm-hmm. Big Thunder Mountain was a fun ride.
I love that ride. My kid loves it too. Yeah. That's the first roller coaster I think he ever really got into and enjoyed.
Yeah, my dad and I went on that like 6 times when we were down there. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Let's check that out.
I really like the, by the way, I love the hat that the Big Thunder ride attendants wear. It's on my list of things I wish I had. If I could have someone create a disturbance and I could grab the hat and run away, that's one of the things I wish I had. I just think it's a really nice. It's not quite an Indiana Jones hat, but I think that's a good thing in this case.
Right.
They have a nice uniform, but I really covet that hat. Nice hat.
Have you tried eBay?
I have tried eBay, and
they do not let people take those things home.
I was wondering. I was just wondering.
No, they're. I've seen them on eBay, but they are. Let's just say the hats are more expensive than my Stormtrooper helmet.
You cannot get outfits. It's almost impossible. I'm gonna have to take photos and catalog. I can't do it soon, but maybe over the winter when it's just I don't want to go outside anymore. I'll have to take photos and catalog and send them to you, Dave, of all the various things that as a young hooligan hanging out at Disneyland we stole from the rides over the years, and I still have. Okay. Now everything is nailed down, and it's probably because of us, but I've got things like the tie from the donkey from Pinocchio, and we've got the scepter, the heart scepter from Alice in Wonderland, and I've got a whole bunch of things around the house.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. My, you know, my wife worked at Disney World. She did a Disney College program, and she was one of the tour guides on the backstage studio tour.
Nice.
And she still has all of her uniforms from that.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this came out this week, and since you guys are old, Brian is old at heart, and Dave, you're just older. The new Beatles, we've been talking about music, so it made me think of this. The new Beatles song, Now and Then, is out. And I didn't know if you guys had thoughts on it, because I know, Brian, you're a Beatles fan, right?
I'm a huge Beatles fan. My mom was. I grew up listening to the Beatles, and then when my son was born, we basically just listened to the Beatles nonstop for the first year of his life. So, yeah, I listened to it. It's a good song, you know. It's very much a... I don't know if it would crack the top 20 or 30 of my favorite Beatles songs of all time, but to have something that the process of when they went through it, and considering it's been recorded over 40 years and at different times, and then basically needed the technology that we have now to be able to make it into a real song. And then, of course, obviously the story of knowing that this is the last Beatles song ever until the next one.
Right.
That they find somewhere.
Right.
You know, so they're going to find some reel-to-reel in a warehouse somewhere and then do this whole process again. But yeah, it's a good song. And I haven't watched the video or the documentary yet. I do intend to this weekend. But, you know, always nice to have this again. You know, one of the best bands of all time, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have not listened to it yet. And I stumbled upon the fact that I am not a Beatles fan.
Right.
I didn't realize it until this was back in the original iPod days when I had loaded up my music library. And one day it dawned on me that pretty much whenever a Beatles song came up, I would skip it. And and it wasn't like I had anything against the Beatles or I didn't like the Beatles. And I certainly appreciate the Beatles. But I only at that point did I realize that I'm not really a Beatles fan. I don't dislike them, but I'm never going to be, you know. Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah,
they're fine.
That's cool. I get it.
Yeah,
mean, it's one of those things where they're such a part of life. You can't escape them in any way, shape, or form. So they can just become like wallpaper, which is probably more your opinion of it. It's like it is what it is.
But, yeah,
yeah.
I will say the coming generation. You know, my kids are and their friends. It is hit or miss as to whether they really know who the Beatles are.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. They're almost a 50-year-old band now, right? So,
yeah, but if you talk to someone who's 10 years older than us, they can't fathom that anyone doesn't know who the Beatles are.
Yeah, right? Well, that's, so, you know.
But that's
life. I don't understand why everybody's favorite band isn't The Cure. It doesn't make any sense to me in any way, shape, or form whatsoever.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are they listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I put this in here. The White House this week released their what do you want to call it?
Executive order.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. The EO, the executive order on artificial intelligence.
The Captain EO.
The Captain EO came out from the White House. Oh, wouldn't that be great? If President Biden came out dressed like Captain EO,
and we all had to put on 3D glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he just had a wig on that looked like Michael Jackson's hair from that era. You know, that would just be wonderful. And he moonwalks out and announces the EO on artificial intelligence. But the one thing that caught my eye on this is the White House finally settles the buzzword debate, and they define artificial intelligence. They say the term artificial intelligence, or AI, has the meaning set forth in 15 U.S.C. 94013, a machine-based system that can, for a given set of human-defined objectives, make predictions, recommendations, or decisions influencing real or virtual environments. Mm-hmm. The term machine learning means a set of techniques that can be used to train AI algorithms to improve performance at a task based on data.
Well, there
blasphemy,
you have it.
I say.
Well, will this stick? Because if this, but if this is the definition, and it is a definition in by statute for the federal government, does that mean everyone has no choice but to go along with this?
Well, let's talk to the editors of tech news sites across the world who use the terms interchangeably and whenever they feel like it. So I doubt it. Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's nice to have it codified, but that's certainly not the way I would have gone with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to close out today with a couple of things about Facebook. So as I mentioned last time, I am back on Facebook. My initial reaction to Facebook is exactly what you said, Brian, which is just how awful Facebook has gotten. Mm-hmm. I will say, having been on Mastodon for the past few months, probably, I don't know, 6 months now, something like that, it is so much better than Facebook. Having a non-algorithmic feed, yeah. the quality of content is so much higher. And Facebook just wants to sell me stuff, not only the ads, but Facebook Marketplace. Like,
yeah,
every third thing coming by is Facebook Marketplace. If someone near you is selling a blender, wouldn't you like to buy this blender? You just, it's so noisy.
Facebook purity can turn that off.
Yeah, well, there. Okay, I'm dialing it in. I'm dialing it in.
But to the same point, like, I use Facebook purity. I've dialed in a lot of those settings. I still don't see a lot of my friends' updates. I still see a lot of ads. I still see a lot of shit I don't care about.
Yeah. Well, what struck me about it was that in that whole thing with the enshittification, you know, meme and story that's been going around. To me, this is exactly that, in that if this was a brand new product, if Facebook came out and it was functioning the way it functions now, there's no way anyone would tolerate it.
Right.
But because they've hit critical mass and there is no other place for all these people to go, they can just suck their users dry. And that's how I feel like they're doing it.
I 100% agree. And the thing, like, okay, so I get that you like the experience on Mastodon, but I'm also willing to bet that a lot of your personal friends and family are not there.
Correct.
Yeah. Where are they?
I don't think any, of my personal. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
That's the problem.
That's what ultimately made me give in and log back in.
Yeah.
So, I want to close with this. I had one of those creepy things happen to me this week.
Facebook is listening to your phone? Or your phone is listening to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's along those lines. Mm-hmm. So I'm driving to work, and I notice in the median, one of the intersections I drive by is one of those little security trailer things. Mm-hmm. I have a picture of it here in the show notes for you two to see. Mm-hmm. It's a little thing that can be dragged around by a truck, and it's got two wheels and a bunch of solar panels and a mast that goes up that has a bunch of cameras at the top of the mast. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different functions that they can be used for. They can monitor traffic. You see people put them in parking lots to stop folks breaking into cars, all those sorts of things. So I'm driving to work and I notice this thing and I say, oh, that's interesting. I wonder who put that there. That's my question. Is it the local police force? Is it a traffic survey company? Mm-hmm. Is it a private company who's just logging license plates? I don't know. I just think about this. I don't talk to anybody about it. I don't do a search on it. I don't do anything. There's no action on my part other than thinking about this device. Mm-hmm. I drive by probably 5 days in a row. I log into Facebook and this ad comes up that I have included in the show notes for one of these devices.
Right.
So now I'm thinking to myself, how do they know that I've been thinking about this device, this exact device? Like, this isn't like bread or pants or a car. This is a very specific device that I've been driving by. How do they know? How do they know that this company wants to spend money to put this in front of me? Right?
Right.
So I'm going down. So now I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm just, you know, how is this happening? How is this happening? So I'm thinking, all right, well, maybe this device has some kind of Bluetooth or Wi-Fi beaconing, mm-hmm. that the Facebook app on my phone is looking out for. And it knows that I've driven by one of these multiple times and wants to put it in front of me. And then finally, after a few days, it just dawned on me. And like, hey, idiot, what do you do for a living? You work in security, right? Like, somewhere tagged on your business profile is security, the word security. Mm-hmm. And this device is a security device.
Yes.
Highly specialized for security. So it's probably just that simple that these folks are running ads on Facebook that says, anybody who works in the security business, show them this ad.
And this amount of stress is probably why you should get back off of Facebook, Dave.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But yeah. I wanted to share this with you all because do you think I'm on track here? Do you have any sympathy for my line of thinking? What do you think?
Well, I put a link in the show notes to the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, which is the same. It's one of those things where you could have been seeing that ad
a million times
a day, and that got you to notice the actual device in the parking lots that you were driving past.
Because it was in the back of your mind.
You,
yep.
And then, yep. then triggered you the other way yep. around once you saw the ad, thinking that. So it could have been any of that line of questioning, because, you know, the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon is that thing where it's like, okay, I just bought a red car. Everybody's got a red car. I've never seen it before. Yeah. Why did everybody start buying red cars now that I've bought a red car?
Yes, could be for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am willing to bet that that ad had been shown to you several times without you even noticing it.
Previously.
And previously. And then it just got stuck in your head somewhere. And then you started to see them in the real world, and then it dovetailed back on itself. And you're like, oh my God, they're showing the ads for this.
See, I think they should be calling them.
Completely scrolled past.
I think they should be calling these things brainworms instead of earworm, like the earworm phenomena. And like once it's there, you can't stop. And then you start to see it everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But thank you for bringing back the debate that my phone is listening to me for us. That's really appreciative of
no,
that.
No, it's not. My phone's not listening to me.
Or your phone is attacking
my phone. Yes. Yeah. My phone is reading my mind. That's what's happening. My phone is reading my mind.
Nice.
Yeah.
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 It's creepy as shit when it happens.
It is. It's bothersome, but it bothers me too, but not to the level that it's bothered Dave. Yeah.
Well, this one was particularly like, look, I know what Bader-Meinhof is. And so in normal day-to-day things, I go there and I recognize it. But what short-circuited me in this particular instance was just how specific this thing is, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not a general consumer piece of equipment.
Well, also keep in mind that you have not been feeding the system because you've been off Facebook for so long. It has very little to go off of. There's probably very little that it could tunnel down to for ads for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting pretty specific stuff to you at this point because you're not giving it anything. It's got nothing to draw from.
Right. Yeah.
That's why I only get women's shoes in my feed because it's pulling, it's pulling my wife's searches because it gets nothing from me.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well,
yeah, that's why you need to go to gog.show/VPN to get your private internet access as we roll into the holiday season so you can do your searches separately from your loved one so they don't get to see what they're going to be getting for Christmas in their feeds.
That's fascinating, Jason. Is there a discount code?
Yes, there is. Just use code GOG. Or enough, go to gog.show/VPN. Yeah.
Now I see ads for private internet access everywhere.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to go put another layer inside of my tinfoil hat. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
Closing shout outs.
Adam writes in, please upload to YouTube or YouTube Music or whatever you have to do. Stitcher died, and then Google Podcasts is going away. I don't have any other podcast players on Android, and almost everything else I listen to is on YouTube. I would really like to keep listening to you, but right now I have to do that directly through your website, and I forget to check it for new episodes. Well, Adam,
no.
I would like to point out that on the Google Play Store is the Patreon app. And for just $3 a month, you can listen to us straight through the Patreon app, ad-free, high-res, and early. So go forth, my young man, and Patreon it up. Because nobody signed up for Patreon this week, damn it.
Nope, nobody. Over at PayPal. Over at PayPal, we've got Simon, Judd, Jonathan, Matthew, Howie, Nicola, Thomas, Nikolai, and Paula, who gave us a big $50.
And over at the tip jar, we've got Adam, Matthew, Sarah, and Christopher. And no reviews this week. Boo.
No reviews this week. And in the news, Matthew Perry passed away this week. I was never a big fan of Friends, but on the occasions where it was on and I saw it, I have to say he was a very, very impressive comedic actor who wasn't given much to work with. So sad to hear. He had lots of problems with addiction and had recently been doing the rounds, basically kind of promoting, you know, I'm doing better. You can do better too. I will help people as well as I can. We don't know why he passed away yet or if anything was involved, but sad to hear. Young guy, 54. And until next time, I'm Brian Schulmeister.
And I'm Jason DeFilippo. Thanks for listening to Grumpy Old Geeks. Links to all of today's stories are at gog.show/624. Like the show? Your donations at gog.show/donate keep our black tech hearts beating. Seriously, toss us a few bucks if you can. Or sign up to support the show at Patreon. Only $3 a month gets you the show early, in high res, and ad-free. You can give more if you're feeling generous, though. And it works like a dream on that Patreon app. Go get them, Adam. Help spread the word. It's free and priceless. Just click on that share button in your player and send to a few hundred of your closest friends. Join the community of listeners on our Discord channel, which there is a link for at gog.show. And head over to gog.show/contact to send us your feedback, comments, or links to cool shit you think we can talk about on the air. And finally, gog.show/review is where you can toss us a review and preferably 5 stars that we can read on the air. Stay grumpy.